Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
This is the iTricks.com Magic Stars podcast for the week ending February 18th, 2010. I'm Justin Robert Young. Coming up a little later in the podcast, we have our newsmaker interview with the inventor and magician, Jeff Williams. He's going to tell us all about his upcoming European tour, as well as some of his releases in the past and what he's working on right now. But first, the news. The late breaking news that is coming out of iTricks at this very moment is a Las Vegas shakeup. Dirk Arthur, as rumor has it, will be ending his show at the Tropicana. And there's a little bit of a swirl here. I'll let you guys know how this sort of came about. There was a blind item released by Robin Leach on Wednesday that basically said there were two shows that might swap theaters. And they were similar in nature. And we have learned that those two shows are Dirk Arthur's show at the Tropicana and Rick Thomas's show at the Sahara. Here is the situation as we've learned it from multiple Vegas sources. Dirk Arthur is leaving his show at the Tropicana because they're refurbishing the theater and they wanted some new blood. Seizing the opportunity, Rick Thomas at the Sahara came in and said, hey, I can take that theater and I have money to help refurbish it. iTricks has been led to believe that the Tropicana was initially open to that idea, but there has been no follow-through by Rick Thomas as of yet. Now, mind you, this is all rumor, and the source that we talked to was very pessimistic on the idea of Rick Thomas getting in there. But if there's one thing that is for sure, it is that in the middle of March, the last stated date on Vegas.com, the ticket emporium, is March 11th, but we've heard March 10th, Dirk Arthur will be done at the Tropicana. So if you wanted to see Dirk's show, Extreme Magic with an X, then you should probably go right now. Of course, for the latest, folks, come on, keep it locked, iTricks.com. A lot of people will see Chris Angel when he steps inside the squared circle March 8th on WWE's Monday Night Raw. The Wrestling Institution is routinely among the top cable programs of the week, but even for the numbers Vince McMahon's operation is used to doing, that particular Monday will be something special. That's because Vince goes back to war that day, and Angel will be there to help fire the first shots. Allow us to explain. On March 8th, rival wrestling organization Total Nonstop Action Wrestling is moving its own flagship show, Impact, to Monday night so they can go head-to-head with the WWE. Now, TNA recently overhauled their roster and image by adding plenty of household names like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan to their roster. The new faces were officially introduced in a special Monday night broadcast on January 5th, which produced record ratings for TNA. But it also produced a gigantic number for the WWE because the industry leader counter-programmed TNA's move with a pay-per-view-worthy card and the return of legend Bret Hart. Long story short, Vince McMahon doesn't like to lose. The last Monday night ratings war between him and the since-absorbed WCW led to one of the most colorful battles in the history of cable television. Viewership bloomed for both companies, and professional wrestling was ushered into a golden age for both cultural relevance and creativity. During the January 5th Raw's war, the peak rating was 4.4, or roughly 5 million viewers. Compare that to the most watched episode of Mind Freak, the live building implosion, which drew around 2.2 million. Adding further perspective, David Letterman's biggest ratings most recently came when he admitted that he had engaged in an affair with a staff writer and was being blackmailed. That particular show drew an estimated 5.8 million viewers, and Chris's last appearance surely drew something south of that. Now, Chris has had plenty of other bigger audiences, as we pointed out in the post. Well, we didn't. Our publisher, Andrew Main, was nice enough to point it out for us. The first episode of NBC's Phenomenon got Chris 8.3 million viewers and a 5.2 rating. His appearance on CSI New York did about 12 million. And then, of course, there's his Oprah appearance, which garnered him about 6 million viewers. However, on March 8th, TNA has already announced that their main event will be Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair squaring off. Vince is sure to counter with something to steal the rival promotion's thunder. Chris will inadvertently be given a great opportunity to turn his a big audience into Mind Freak fans. The question is, how will he use it? Now, here's a video you just have to see to believe during Rio de Janeiro's Carnival parade. There was maybe one of the biggest, public quick change demonstrations we've seen in quite a while. It came from, and I'm going to try and get this this name right, Unidos de Tejuca Samba School. All right? They put together this this gigantic routine in which six different costumes were used for each of, I think it looked like eight girls. It took 4 months of intensive training for the performers to perfect their technique. We have the whole behind-the-scenes story about how it came together, as well as the video, which you really gotta lay your own peepers on. So head on over to iTricks, check that out. Now here is an act-quick opportunity, okay? Penn and Teller's 1987 Showtime short film Invisible Thread is up on YouTube. We have the whole thing put together as a playlist on the site. Go check it out. And do it quickly. As Teller pointed out on Twitter, this is probably not legal. So it could be taken down at any moment. So just go. Go to iTricks right now. Watch the whole thing. It's awesome. And finally, we bring you one story filed under duh. A magician who spent over 2.5 days in a block of ice was rushed to the hospital with severe frostbite. This is quoting the article. A magician is in the hospital with severe frostbite after spending more than 64 hours as a human ice cube to break a world record. Gennady Palachevsky spent 64 hours and 32 minutes encased in ice to break David Blaine's 10-year-old record. According to Metro, Palachevsky was rushed to the hospital after signaling for help and staggering out of the ice in Moscow. His wife says that he was at first not in good shape, but is doing better now. Now, that article is kind of misleading because the Latvian illusionist beats an Israeli endurance artist, Hezi Dayan, who broke Blaine's record a month ago. It's safe to say that we are now in a golden age of sitting in a block of ice whilst not completely freezing to death. Which segues perfectly into our newsmaker interview. It is with Jeff Williams. He talked to us from his home in Minnesota. Joining me via Skype is an inventor who's going on a bit of a European tour, beginning March 1st in Switzerland and ending March 25th in Rome. Jeff Williams, welcome to the Magic Stars podcast. How are you doing?
I am absolutely fantastic. Thanks, Justin.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the tour. Have you done something like this before, or is this your first time doing something as ambitious as it is just crisscrossing Europe?
Well, this is the biggest one yet. I was in Italy back in 2001, and so I did like 10 different cities in Italy, but that was as far as I got. So now it's going to be crisscrossing all over the place. So I got about 7 different countries I'm going through.
Very cool. Now, I mean, it seems like kind of more of a survival thing than anything else, doing that kind of traveling in a foreign land.
Well, yeah, you get a Euro rail pass and they just hop on trains and, you know, let them do all the driving. So I don't have to really worry. I recently did a lecture tour, thanks to Scott Wells in Texas, down through Texas. And in January, it was about 18 days. I did 14 lectures in 18 days. And
wow.
All that driving. So I did over 5,300 miles, which was a lot. And I'm looking forward to this one because I get to sit there and, you know, let them do it. I think so. I get some actual work done.
Now, if you're going to describe your lecture to somebody who's never seen it before, what would it be?
Well, it's kind of like David Blaine on crack.
Okay.
No, it's not. It's a lot of fun. Mostly close-up, some parlor stuff, kind of zany. I let my character sort of take over during part of the lecture, so you get kind of a flavor of my performance persona, which is a little... zany,
manic,
kind of an intro. He doesn't understand how the world works, and so it is kind of a fun character.
I mean, is that an element of what you kind of want to get across to people? Is the fact that you know on is on, for lack of a better term, that you need to be, you know, putting on a show even if you're doing something like a lecture?
I think a lecture should be entertaining and not just informative. Because if people are not really interested in the trick, maybe they'll be interested in your take on it, or at least your character's take on it. And
yeah.
So I don't do the whole thing in character, obviously, but people get to see some of the
glimpses of it, right?
Exactly, exactly. And that's, and I think it's really important that people have a good time. I wish more of my teachers in school had made their lectures a little more entertaining and not just, you know, informative. And so I'm kind of leaning in that respect.
Now, Miracles Over Mortals was your big, last release. So what has the reaction been on it?
Oh, Miracles Over Mortals really put me on the map. That was so I got some great, great reviews from, you know, Jeannie and Magic and my lovely assistant, David Acker, gave me a nice one. The buzz online was just phenomenal. And I had some breakout stuff that has really, really worked for me. The I Hate David Copperfield trick, which I don't actually hate him.
Everybody's been buzzing. Confirm or deny, you actually have a hatred for Mr. Copperfield.
I do not. Mr. Right. Copperfield, I'm a big fan, a huge fan of David's, but you have to see the presentation. It's has to do with him making my life very difficult, and so consequently, I want to try to get back by doing something better than he's ever done, and I'm just going to use 3 cards, and so that's kind of the premise of the whole deal.
Yeah, yeah. Is that kind of a theatricality and storyline, you know, important to you? I mean, is that something that you really want to weave into everything you do, or is it kind of a time and place thing?
Well, I think when people ask me what I do for a living, I tell them I'm an entertainer.
Yeah.
And then when they go farther, I say, okay, well, I'm a comedy magician. So I like to think of myself as an entertainer first and a magician second. I want people first and foremost just to have a great time when they come and see my show, whenever they see me perform. But if they're fooled along the way, you know, with magic, that's, to me, that's really icing on the cake. But some of my show is not magical, but hopefully it's fun.
I want to apologize to everybody for the banging around. The iTrix headquarters is apparently pretty busy here.
When you record in a bathroom, you're going to get that every now and then.
Exactly. You know, I'll tell you what, no matter how many signs you hang, apparently, people, the lunch rush, as it were, is pretty intense. All right. Well, you know, Jeff, what do we have coming up next from you? Where can people see more?
Well, let's see. That's a really good question. Yeah, that's a great question. The next convention, I just did the Columbus Magi Fest and had a fantastic time there. That was really just a blast. I'm doing a lot of sort of little regional sort of things, but I think it's the next convention that I'm actually scheduled to be at is Magic in the Rockies,
which okay.
September, and wow, if anybody who's listening who is able to go to that convention, drop what you're doing and go, because it's one of the most incredible experiences. It's a kind of an always, it's an every year sort of thing for me, just because the people there are phenomenal, the magic is wonderful, you get a couple of buffet meals, you know,
nice
illustration. Yeah, it's just such a great, great convention. Can't recommend it highly enough.
All right. And then, of course, that is all, after you do the big Euro swing. Real quick, so in case our international listeners are interested in attending, name off some of the cities you're going to be in.
Well, let's see. I start in Basel, Switzerland, which is Roberto Giobbe's club. And I head over to Milan and Turin and Grenoble, France. I'm in Paris and Belgium. I go to Lille, France, which I'm interested in. It's my buddy Pascal Marc lives there. He's the one who's pretty much set up this tour for me, and what an incredible guy. Then I go on to Berlin and Frankfurt. I've got a workshop I just scheduled in Frankfurt. On to Vienna and Graz. Going to be going then to Padova and hanging there with Franco and Marta Borgo, wonderful magicians. I'll be lecturing there as well. And then I go over to Rome and then come home. So it's going to be about 18 lectures and workshops in a month. So.
That sounds awesome. That sounds just like such a really sweet time. And like a month, I mean, you know, it's a month in Europe. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah, get to hang, get to meet some great magicians there, get to renew some friendships of people I've seen at different conventions and things. So I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be it's going to be a working holiday pretty much.
Yeah. And real quick, you mentioned right before we went on that you're working with Dan Harlan on something. Can you tip us any kind of hints on what you might be trying to figure out with Mr. Harlan?
Yeah, well, Dan's given me the thumbs up to be able to pretty much do a little in-depth DVD of a reworking of one of his classic effects. And I want to get Dan involved in this as well. And so it's still in the preliminary stages. I don't want to say too much more, but it's something that when I did it in Europe recently as a performance, some of the magicians, their jaws were dropping. And I thought, wait a minute, these people should know this stuff. And they don't. So I'm taking it's basically a classic of Dan's, and it's not different really. It just has some nice little things that I've been adding to it to make it look a little bit more. I don't know if it's more magical than how Dan does it, but anyway, we're going to show a lot of variations, and it'll probably be sort of a one-trick DVD that gives you a lot of variants of a extremely cool, rather impromptu miracle.
Very, very, very cool. Certainly something to be excited about. Is there anywhere online where people can keep in touch with you or just make sure that they know all the latest Jeff Williams news?
Yeah, you can reach me at jeffwilliamsmagic.com. That's my website. It's GEOFFWilliamsmagic.com. And it's got all my contact information on there. If people want, they can get my email address, and I can send them a PDF of my product catalog. They can stay in touch with where I'm going to be when. And, can send all sorts of, kudos and any kind of prayers. And
yes, of course. Yes. Hail Marys and, protective Wiccan spells.
Sure, yeah, talk about reasons why they get me mixed up with Jay Sankey all the time.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, maybe, there we go. You can always pass off. Maybe you can double book yourself through Europe with a Sankey tour in the afternoon and maybe the Jeff Williams lecture tour at night.
I should so do that. Yeah. Oh, that would be absolutely hilarious. Actually, what I want to happen, I don't think Jay's listening to this maybe, so if he does, he'll forget. Next time I'm at a convention with Jay, I want one of the iTricks listeners
to
run up to Jay, and I want them to say, oh my gosh, you are my all-time favorite magician. I've got all your DVDs and lecture notes. I just think you're the most wonderful magician on the entire planet. Oh, wait a minute. You're not Jeff Williams.
Ah, zing.
Yeah.
Zing.
That's what I want.
There we go. Jeff Williams has been my guest on the Magic Stars podcast. Thank you very, very much for taking out the time.
Thank you very much for putting up with me.
What a nice guy that Jeff Williams is. One more round of applause, digitally, in your own home. David Copperfield's going to be really easy to find, like he has been for the last couple weeks. It's all up in the MGM Grand, Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's go there. Every single night. Two shows a night. Seriously. It couldn't be simpler. And that about wraps it up for this episode of the Magic Stars podcast. If you would like more magic interviews, well, all you have to do is head on over to iTunes or iTrix and start downloading the Magic Week in Review. And if you want more of this, make sure you download this on iTunes. If you'd like to send me an email, it's show@itrix.com. And if you just want to read all the latest news, itrix.com, plain as day, right there. And, one more thing. iTrix Live is back. iTrix.com/live. There's a bunch of people talking 24/7 about magic. You never know who's going to pop in. We're happy to have it back. But that about wraps it up for this week's edition. Until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
iTrix.com.